Now then, said Hepzibah happily. We're Hokey. Oh, yes, there you are. Take that away now, Hokey.
The elf obediently took the boxed cup, and Hepzibah turned her attention to the much flatter box in her lap.
I think you'll like this even more, Tom, she whispered. Lean in a little, dear boy, so you can see. Of course, Burke knows I've got this one. I bought it from him, and I dare say he'd love to get it back when I'm gone.
She slid back the fine filigree clasp and flipped open the box. There upon the smooth crimson velvet lay a heavy golden locket. Voldemort reached out his hand without invitation this time and held it up to the light, staring at it. Slytherin's mark, he said quietly, as the light played upon an ornate serpentine S.
That's right,
said Hepzibah, delighted, apparently at the sight of Voldemort gazing at her locket transfixed.
I had to pay an arm and a leg for it, but I couldn't let it pass. Not a real treasure like that. Had to have it for my collection. Burke bought it, apparently, from a ragged-looking woman who seemed to have stolen it, but had no idea of its true value.
There was no mistaking it this time. Voldemort's eyes flashed scarlet at the words, and Harry saw his knuckles whiten on the locket's chain.
I dare say Burke paid her a pittance, but there you are. Pretty, isn't it? And again, all kinds of powers attributed to it, though I just keep it nice and safe.
She reached out to take the locket back. For a moment, Harry thought Voldemort was not going to let go of it, but then it had slid through his fingers and was back in its red velvet cushion.
So there you are, Tom, dear, and I hope you enjoyed that.
She looked him full in the face, and for the first time, Harry saw her foolish smile falter.
Are you all right, dear?
Oh, yes, said Voldemort quietly. Yes, I'm very well.
I thought, but a trick of the light, I suppose,
said Hepzibah, looking unnerved, and Harry guessed that she, too, had seen the momentary red gleam in Voldemort's eyes.
Here, Hokey, take these away and lock them up again. The usual enchantments.
Time to leave, Harry,
said Dumbledore quietly, and as the little elf bobbed away bearing the boxes, Dumbledore grasped Harry once again above the elbow, and together they rose up through oblivion and back to Dumbledore's office.
Hepzibah Smith died 2 days after that little scene, said Dumbledore, resuming his seat and indicating that Harry should do the same. Hokey, the house elf, was convicted by the Ministry of poisoning her mistress's evening cocoa by accident.
No way, said Harry angrily.
I see we are of one mind, said Dumbledore. Certainly there are many similarities between this death and that of the Riddles. In both cases, somebody else took the blame, someone who had a clear memory of having caused the death.
Hokey confessed.
She remembered putting something in her mistress's cocoa that turned out not to be sugar, but a lethal and little-known poison, said Dumbledore. It was concluded that she had not meant to do it, but, being old and confused...
Voldemort modified her memory, just like he did with morphine.
Yes, that is my conclusion too, said Dumbledore. And, just as with morphine, the Ministry was predisposed to suspect Hokey.
Because she was a house elf, said Harry. He had rarely felt more in sympathy with the society Hermione had set up, S.P.E.W.
Precisely, said Dumbledore. She was old, she admitted to having tampered with the drink, and nobody at the Ministry bothered to inquire further. As in the case of morphine, by the time I traced her and managed to extract this memory, her life was almost over. But her memory, of course, proves nothing except that Voldemort knew of the existence of the cup and the locket. By the time Hokey was convicted, Hepzibah's family had realized that two of her greatest treasures were missing. It took them a while to be sure of this, for she had many hiding places, having always guarded her collection most jealously. But before they were sure beyond doubt that the cup and the locket were both gone, the assistant who had worked at Borgin and Burke's, the young man who had visited Hepzibah so regularly and charmed her so well, had resigned his post and vanished. His superiors had no idea where he had gone. They were as surprised as anyone at his disappearance. And that was the last that was seen or heard of Tom Riddle for a very long time. Now, said Dumbledore, if you don't mind, Harry, I want to pause once more to draw your attention to certain points of our story. Voldemort had committed another murder. Whether it was his first since he killed the Riddles, I do not know, but I think it was. This time, as you will have seen, he killed not for revenge, but for gain. He wanted the two fabulous trophies that poor, besotted old woman showed him, just as he had once robbed the other children at his orphanage, just as he had stolen his Uncle Morfin's ring. So he ran off now with Hepzibah's cup and locket. But, said Harry, frowning, it seems mad, risking everything, throwing away his job, just for those... Mad to you, perhaps, but not to Voldemort, said Dumbledore. I hope you will understand in due course exactly what those objects meant to him, Harry. But you must admit that it is not difficult to imagine that he saw the locket, at least, as rightfully his.
The locket may be, said Harry, but why take the cup as well?
It had belonged to another of Hogwarts' founders, said Dumbledore. I think he still felt a great pull toward the school, and that he could not resist an object so steeped in Hogwarts' history. There were other reasons, I think. I hope to be able to demonstrate them to you in due course. And now for the very last recollection I have to show you, at least until you manage to retrieve Professor Slughorn's memory for us. 10 years separates Hokey's memory and this one. 10 years during which we can only guess at what Lord Voldemort was doing.